Today is Sunday, August 16th, 2020. Tomorrow is the start of the 2020 NBA playoffs. Playoffs? Yes, playoffs. I am Hollywood J. Black. This is the Overtime Sports Show, and it is time for the illustrious NBA playoff preview. I'm gonna vibe out for a little bit. Everybody knows from the 80s kids, they know what this song is. They know when this song came on, somebody was making a swift exit out of the playoffs via Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. But this ain't no Chicago Bulls game. This is the Hollywood game. Yes, sir. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Yes, I'm your boy Hollywood J. Black live in the building once again. Back with another show. A little quick show because I'll need to drop this one on the podcast channel tomorrow. So you guys are going to go live with me as I record and maybe have some fun. If you got some comments, suggestions, we are live. This isn't one of those pre-recorded shows. If you're catching this on Sunday night, August 16th, we are live. So make sure that you hit us up or hit me up because I'm on this solo dolo tip. And ride with me. Talk to me. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs. Tonight, I'm going to run down just about everything that you need to know about the NBA playoffs. The games that are coming up tomorrow. The games that are coming up Tuesday. It is a big effing deal. These are the bubble playoffs. First time in history where the playoffs have been isolated into the Orlando bubble, as we've called it, due to coronavirus. This is a rare events, once in a lifetime, unless this virus thing lasts a little too long. So without further ado, let's skip the BS. Let's go ahead and share the video real quick before we get this thing started so they know what's popping. Let's see. Let me move this. Here I come to save the day. Oh, let's go here. Okay, so now, without further ado, let's talk playoffs. Now, everybody that's been living under a rock obviously knows that the Portland Trail Blazers locked down the last playoff spot against the Memphis Grizzlies. Dame Lillard with a hell of a game, but that game wouldn't have, finishing that game would not have been possible without Carmelo Anthony's heroic three-pointer with about 25 seconds left to go in the game to put the game up by six, and they put it out of reach unless they kept fouling, which is exactly what they hired Carmelo Anthony to do. Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. And Carmelo Anthony, when the world had doubted him, when the world said that he wouldn't be able to play basketball again on any team, that he was toxic, that he was undeniably a bad influence to locker rooms across the NBA. He has proven his worth with the Portland Trail Blazers. He's won them actually two games on two clutch threes. I'm excited. Listen, these first round matchups that are coming up are no joke. This is one of those things where the bubble atmosphere has brought out some of the most competitive basketball I have yet to see in a long time, because bubble seeding wasn't even just about playing basketball. Bubble seeding was actually basically winning enough games to where you could avoid playing the teams that you didn't want to play. Because let's be honest, there were certain teams that certain players did not want to play. That, like, unfortunately for the Los Angeles Lakers, they have the unfortunate distinction of having to play the Portland Trail Blazers, the hottest team, the second hottest team in basketball. There's no home court advantage. It's all about the bubble. Okay. They obviously, to me, have the most to lose. They have everything in the game, but yet the most to lose. The Blazers have come in. They're coming in on upset city. They're ready to try and take the crown. After the comments that Paul George and Patrick Beverley had about Damian Lillard, Dame time has been in full effect. There has not been any slowdown in Dame time. He's been a boon not only for the Portland Trail Blazers, but the fantasy owners across the board. And this is, it's become serious. It's become real serious. The Lakers are coming in at full strength. The problem is that the Lakers are not deep. It is not an advantage for them to have this first seed. They probably would have preferred to actually have the second seed and let the Clippers have the first seed. It would have been an advantage if they had Memphis, because I think that LeBron and AD's experience would have outweighed anything that Ja Morant and Brandon Clark and them boys down in Memphis would have brought. I think, without a shadow of a doubt, I think that would be something to see, right? But that's not the case here. They're going against, again, like I alluded to earlier, the hottest team in basketball, the Portland Trail Blazers. Dame time is in full effect. CJ McCollum is mostly here. They got a sharpshooter in Gary Trent. They got Melo. They got Jusuf Nurkić, which is a matchup nightmare. I talked about this on the Friday show. He is a matchup nightmare. I don't know how they're going to deal with it. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if AD – because, listen, if AD is the one that has to guard Nurkić, AD has had problems with Nurkić from the jump. If whoever plays center, if Dwight Howard comes in and JaVale McGee has to deal with Nurkić, it's going to be a huge problem. Ain't nobody going to be able to stop that dude. Nurkić was humbled by Jared Allen, and after that, he stepped up his shit, and he stepped up his game, and he came through, especially in this last game against Memphis. He outplayed Brandon Clark and Jonas Valanciunas, hands down. But Nurkić has been balling the entire NBA bubble, because that's when he came back. He wasn't even back for the regular season. He came back in the bubble. I worry about the Lakers in this one. I really do. Dame time. The man, listen, the man has an NBA 2K cover. There's no really curse. There's no NBA 2K curse, really. It's Dame time. This is going to seven games. I hate to break it to you, LeBron, but this thing is going to seven. Which then leads me to the second Western Conference matchup between the fours and the fives. Well, let me see. Let me go back. Give me a second. The fours and the fives. Let's see. It froze. Playoff. There we go. So this thing led off into the Rockets and the OKC Thunder. This is another one of those things where they didn't want this matchup. The Rockets are probably the last team that wanted to play the Thunder. Chris Paul, after getting traded to the Rockets about a year ago, 2 years ago, him and Harden had to coexist. That didn't work. It was a failed job. So they switched Paul for Westbrook. Now Chris Paul has turned the Oklahoma City Thunder into a powerhouse. into an actually really, really good team, a young team led by a veteran point guard. That's dangerous because Chris Paul can coach these dudes up. And let's not forget that Chris Paul is the president of the NBAPA. He knows everybody. He knows everybody's strength. He knows everybody's weaknesses. He knows what's going through everybody's head. Going to a game against or series against Harden, and they obviously the problem is they have no Westbrook. So we don't get to see the coveted Westbrook-Paul matchup that we wanted to see. You know, tradesies for tradesies. But at the same time, OKC is, I can say this. Steven Adams is going to be the deciding factor in this series. And I know probably like, what the fuck? Steven Adams? They say, oh, you got Shai Gilgeous. You got Chris Paul. You got other players. No, listen. Because Houston is so weak at the bigs. Houston plays small ball, okay? They play ridiculous small ball. Because they play small ball, their defense against actual big dudes is lacking. Nurkic had like 30-plus when they played. Porzingis had 30-plus when they played. Dude, there was a stack of people, stack of big men that had 25, 30-plus, 10-plus rebounds, had double-doubles all over Houston's ass. And so Steven Adams is that dude. He is going to come into play. He plays defense really well. He's an OG veteran. He has a nice little mid-range jumper. He's going to be the deciding factor on how this series goes. If Steven Adams plays really good basketball, this might be the Rockets. I mean, series. This might be the Oklahoma City's series to lose. I'm not sure if Gilgeous is up to the task of dealing with James Harden. I don't think anybody obviously is up to the task of dealing with James Harden, but they have no choice. They're going to have to. It's going to get rough. It's going to get dirty. It's going to get bad. And if they just let James Harden do whatever he wants to, this series, Houston's going to cook him in six without Westbrook. And that tells you a lot. Next in the Western Conference, we have the Denver Nuggets against the Utah Jazz. And the Utah Jazz, before the bubble happened, were on a decent roll. They were a decent team. The Jazz and the Nuggets were trading off the number one spot in the division. They were back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. All of a sudden, the Jazz fell off when it was bubble time. Pretty ironic when you consider the Jazz and their positive COVID tests were the reasons why there was no NBA basketball. Let's just get this straight. There was no NBA basketball simply because of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. And I'm not blaming them per se. We know what COVID was, and I get it. I understand that. I dig that. That's fine. However, that's the game that canceled the NBA season. I said the irony is not lost on me that ever since they got into the bubble, they have struggled. Donovan Mitchell has not been Spider. Mike Conley has been meh. They've been I think it's 500 or less than 500. The Jazz actually struggled while Denver actually imposed their will on a bunch of teams. Which explains Denver's number three spot. For me, this is Denver's series to lose. I don't even think this goes six games. I think Denver 4-1 easily. Which then leads me to the Los Angeles Clippers versus the Dallas Mavericks. This is the premier matchup of the playoffs. We have Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Pat Bev, Montrezl Harrell, Zubac off the bench, Marcus Morris off the bench. It's getting good, but they're going against this hellified squad that's in Dallas with Luka, Porzingis, Hardaway Jr., Jacob Poeltl. I look at this. There's going to be some smash mouth basketball, and we're going to see Luka versus Kawhi in some of the most beautiful matchups you've ever seen. I think this is easily a 7-game series. I don't doubt that in my mind that the Clippers and the Mavericks are 7-gamers. This is a 7-gamer. If it doesn't go 7 games, that means something went terribly wrong. Somebody got injured, or somebody just went beast mode. This is a definitive 7-game series. So both LAs, Clippers and Lakers alike, are going to probably have to go through 7 games to get to the next round. And I couldn't tell you, I'll promise you, that they're going to make it into the next round. As much as I sit here and like to say, you know, it's a wrap for the Blazers, or it's a wrap for the Mavericks. The Mavericks are one of the toughest teams in basketball. They were only behind the Clippers only by about 5 or 6 games, somewhere around there. Nothing crazy. It really could easily have been the other way around. But Luka has been on fire. Luka has proven without a shadow of a doubt that he belongs in the NBA. Porzingis is guiding him. And the young squad with Hardaway Jr. They got Trey Burke, who's been actually fairly decent coming off the bench. Seth Curry as a starting point guard. And I for one, am gonna. This is gonna be. That's gonna be the series I enjoy. If I had my way, and I could impose my will, I would love to see the Clippers and the Blazers in the last round. Okay, that would be my dream scenario where that happens. However, I don't think that's gonna happen. We could very easily see Lakers. If I really had to pick right now, without seeing anybody, and just strictly on paper on the Eastern Conference, I can get about as far as the Western Conference Championship, and it's really either gonna be Lakers, Clippers, or Lakers, Mavericks. If the Mavericks can get by the Clippers, I think they go all the way to the Eastern Conference Championship, because I would think that they're a better team than Denver. Hands down. Ain't no question in that. I think that is what it is. However, if they go the way that they do go, and we see Lakers, Clippers, we already know that's going to go 7 games. But if they go like that, then the Clippers actually have the advantage because they're a much deeper team. That's the Western Conference in a nutshell. It's a clusterfuck. It's a madhouse and a beatdown all in one. But hey, if you like it, I love it. So now let's get over to the Western Conference here. The Eastern Conference. Let's get over to the Eastern Conference, where things are just a tad little bit more complicated than the West. First round matchup. Bucks and the Magic. That thing is right there. That's 4 games. Bucks are going to Razor Ramon style. Like that. Done. I don't even think of the Magic win a game. If anybody has watched the Giannis bubble, Giannis has been a beast on fire. And Milwaukee's fully healthy. Milwaukee's going to go roughshod through Orlando. Just count them out. Just say bye to Orlando now. As much as I like the Magic, and I can tell you, I can praise Nikola Vucevic and how he's definitely a much better center than Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez. The fact that they lost Jonathan Isaac, which was their young stud power forward, is going to change everything. And also the fact that they refused to play Mo Bamba to counteract this. I think Mo Bamba I'm not saying that he's great, but you need some length when you deal with Giannis, and Mo Bamba is the only person at the power forward that has that kind of length. He does. And, I mean, he ain't going to stop Giannis, but goddamn, he can put his fucking hands up. Shit. But the coach hates Mo Bamba for some reason. So that's going to lead us to a nice little sweep. Bring out your brooms. Clean up the house. It's a sweep. Milwaukee, Orlando. Milwaukee goes on to the next round. No questions asked. No refunds given. Which then brings us to what, to me, is the best matchup in this playoffs right now. Well, second best matchup. Pacers, Heat. The Indiana Pacers have found their ace right next to Victor Oladipo, and his name is TJ Warren, although TJ Warren kind of fell off in the last game of the bubble. But the Pacers at that four slot, having to go against the Heat at that five slot. The Heat are a defensively stout team. The Heat have Kendrick Nunn. They have Goran Dragic coming off the bench. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Kelly Olynyk. It goes deeper than that. They got Tyler Herro. It's that team. This Heat team is no joke. They are stout defensively. They take what you do best and completely eliminate it. They have embarrassed teams, in the bubble games. Embarrassed them. Some games that they won most of their games. They lost a couple, I believe. But every time that they faced a good team and they had a good player, like when they played the Bucks, Giannis didn't go do that. He didn't do all that well. Matter of fact, when they played TJ Warren, TJ Warren didn't do that well. And so it led to a point where now this is a thing that you're going to have to grind out every win. You're going to have to grind. You're going to have to push. You're going to have to shimmy and shake and do all that jazz. And this thing is going to seven. I would not want to be the Pacers having to grind out seven games. This shit is not going to go well. Not at freaking all. I'm looking at this thing and man. And the messed up part about it is I'm hoping the Heat win, because I think the Heat are the only team that can really just take Giannis to seven games and frustrate the hell out of him. If the Pacers win, the Bucks are going to mollywop them. I have no doubts about that. If the Heat win, that next series is going to be a six-gamer, seven-gamer very easily, and Giannis is going to get embarrassed like nobody's business. Then we get to Boston, Philadelphia. Before Ben Simmons got hurt, this was the premier matchup in the playoffs. Now, I don't even think that the Sixers make it out of the first round. The Sixers went from being the number two seed last year? Something like that? No, they were the number like four, number three seed. They were some weird ass scenario to where they had to play the Raptors and they lost in that heartbreaking game with the Kawhi three-pointer. Now, they got to go into this with a bunch of bigs and Shake Milton. And they're not deep. And the Celtics are deep. They're the deepest team in the playoffs. They got the J brothers, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Excuse me. The J brothers. The J brothers are nothing to be, play with. Then you got Gordon Hayward, who's found his niche. Then you got Kemba Walker, who's still one of the best point guards in the NBA, hands down. The type of point guard that Brad Stevens loves, selfless, willing to put his body on the line, but also put his teammates in a good place like he did so many times in Charlotte. Now it's a problem. Five, maybe six, Celtics. It's a wrap. If the Sixers make it out of the first round, it's because God willed them to. I'm sorry. I can't. There's no way that without Ben Simmons, this becomes a good matchup for the Sixers. Shake Milton's going to get shook by Kemba Walker. The J brothers are going to dominate in the middle because they don't have to go big for big. They don't have to wear – I mean, Tobias Harris is great. Don't get me wrong. But Jason Tatum is going to play that fool. Jaylen Brown going against Al Horford is going to be ugly. The only ace in the hole that they have is Joel Embiid, because I'm pretty sure that he's a better center than any other centers that Boston has on their roster. It could probably go to six or seven solely because of Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid could put up 94 Patrick Ewing numbers, 94, 95 Patrick Ewing numbers and will them to seven games. But I doubt it. Boston is just that damn good. They're that damn good. I'm sorry. It's in a three seed for a reason. They're that damn good. And then finally, we come to our Raptors-Nets matchup. This is the matchup that my man Big Sin has been clamoring over. But Big Sin, you know you're my dog. You know I love you. But I'm going to have to break out the bad news, bear it on you. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Because, see, the Brooklyn Nets have none of their stars. The Brooklyn Nets have Caris LeVert and Jared Allen. And they got to go against the second deepest team in the NBA in the Toronto Raptors. This isn't going to be good. Albeit, yes, that the Brooklyn Nets took it to some of the best teams in the NBA. They took it to a lot of the Western Conference teams in the bubble and didn't back down. But this is a whole nother monster. This Toronto Raptors team, they're nasty. They don't give a fuck. They just ball. Pascal Siakam balls hard. Doesn't give a fuck. Just does his thing. OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet, Mark Gasol, Serge Ibaka, old school meets new school. This is going to be some nasty basketball. But it's not going to be – the nasty basketball is not going to be in Brooklyn's favor, unfortunately. If anything, this is one of those five, maybe sixes. Brooklyn might eke out a few wins, make a couple wins maybe. But this is Toronto's thing to lose. So I guess let me make my prediction for the Eastern Conference. If I had to predict it right now, it's the Celtics – and Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. If you had to call it right now, straight on paper, Celtics, Bucks, Eastern Conference Finals, the Battle of Green in the East. And I know that sounds like a pipe dream because of how much I just praised Toronto, but if you've just been paying attention, Boston is the deepest team in the NBA. They're great from the 1 to the 12. And even if they're so destined to, Taco Fall can come in and ball. Yes, I said Taco Fall. That's how deep it is. Taco Fall is the 12th man, and he can come in and kick some ass. So, schedules. So you can get a feel what's happening in game one. And we're going to go over the odds and the spreads real quick before we head up out of here. We have Utah versus Denver. Denver's the favorites. They're -3. Take that as you want to take it, right? Brooklyn versus Toronto. Toronto's 9.5-point favorites. Boston's 5.5-point favorites. The Clippers are 6-point favorites. That's the game. If you're a better, I suggest you touch that Dallas game and put your money on Dallas. Ain't no way the Clippers are going to cover 6 against Dallas. Not in the first game. Not without no answer to Luka. Orlando versus Milwaukee. Milwaukee's favored by 11.5. Miami's favored by 3.5 versus Indiana. Remember I told you Miami is no joke. Oklahoma City is favored by 1.5 against Houston simply because there's no Westbrook. But don't forget that Harden is a beast. And Lakers are supposed to hang 5.5 on Portland. I don't know about that. You take that like you want to take it. I don't know about that. 5.5 is – I'd take Portland easy on that one. That's an easy Portland bet. I want to tell everyone thank you very much for joining us tonight. Appreciate you. Catch us tomorrow on this Hope for Time Sports Show. Until then, this is your boy Hollywood J. Black signing off. We out this thing. Deuces.